But what's good, y'all? It's your boy CMJ. I'm back with it. I'm back with the Total Fandom Podcast, and today I'm coming with some little light. Today is just the first part of I don't know how many episodes I'm gonna do for this, and I don't know how many people I'm gonna do per episode. But today, along with the rest of this week, I'm doing the end of season fantasy recaps for all the teams in the league. And I started writing them for each team, synopsis for each team, a little bit how the season went and how it ended and, you know, how they finished, and maybe a look ahead to next season, if they're going to be a part of the next season, if I know that already, if I don't. And, you know, I've been doing this for years, and it's just a lot. And now that I'm taking on more of a responsibility, I have a dog, I'm back in school, I was just like, it's just a lot for me to keep up with by myself. Until I get somebody else to, you know, hop on board with the writing, and, you know, I flow with their writing style, because, you know, I know no one's gonna write exactly how I write or exactly how I envision or anything like that, you know what I'm saying? So I will want someone who is writing for me to have their own style, to embrace their style, and to be a great writer, but anyway, and a good storyteller, or both, great and great. Anyway, you get the point. So with that being said, I'm basically doing recorded end of year synopsis for teams. I will go back and touch on the teams that I've already written about, but for now, I'm starting from the middle of the list, because I finished about like 6-7 teams, and then the rest of the teams are playoff teams that I could write about. And honestly, I could go so in depth on everyone's season and the things that could have shaped, I mean, the things that shaped their season and things that they could have done or could not have done to be in a different position or whatever. And honestly, it'd probably just be better if I did this and shared the recordings and, you know, played with the audio, played with the editing a little bit, and, you know, have fun with it. You know, I can only tell so much of a story when I'm writing these articles. People are only gonna read so much. They can only be captivated by so much. But you know, being able to put this on audio for the league and whoever else may be tuning in, it's a good way for you to, you know, maybe passively listen and get the information that you need instead of having to lock in and focus. But yeah, I've done enough introing for now, so let me get right into it. And the team, context matters. We all know that context matters. So okay, so these are the teams that I've already written about and posted on the league feed. Rose Raid 626, owner Jash. I'll let you guys know who these people are, who everyone is, when I associate them with the team name. But Rose Raid 626 did theirs, Easy Clap did theirs, Burrito Supreme, Team Arrow, Colts Nation, Hard Steel, and now I'm on Smooth Moves. So, and I'll get in, yeah, let me get into Smooth Moves, man. Team owner is Daz, been a part of the league for the last 4 seasons. Now, man. Daz finished with an 8-7 record for the second time in 3 seasons. This was Daz's first season in the CFL West after spending the first 3 seasons in the CFL North, annually placing in second or third place in that division for 3 seasons. Like, it was just tough for him to really pull it together. A 5-10 record here, a 5-9 record here, 8-7 record a couple seasons ago. Never eclipsing 1,500 points until this season, where he was a top 4 scoring unit, where his franchise is a top 4 scoring unit. And ironically, Daz still did not make the playoffs. 4 seasons has yet to make the playoffs. Only Justin and Burrito Supreme have a longer drought with 6 years. It's kind of tough. It's kind of tough, honestly. You know, did I decide to do that? I don't know. I don't remember if I usually, when I reshuffle the divisions, I don't really run that by the council like that. So yeah, I decided to put Daz in the CFL West to give him a reprieve from the North, because I was already revamping the North, and the North is, we'll get to the North, because the North actually did so great this year that they set records. But Yeah, I put them in the West with a few teams. And I'm not saying I put these teams together because I feel like, oh, you know, all these teams are, you know, subpar. I just feel like I put him in a division where, like, he could really shine. And honestly, he did. You know, the franchise did. The team did. Smooth Moves, like I said, scored the fourth most points throughout the year, this season. And honestly, every week it was like, you just didn't know if Daz was going to drop Daz, Smooth Moves, whatever. Damn, I think I'm going to say team names, associate team names with owners, and then go with the team name. I'm going to go with the team name just for the general audience, because everyone in the league knows who everyone in the league is, or knows of everyone in the league. If I just start saying names and it's like, oh, what, you know, and then if I say a nickname, you really don't know. So yeah, anyway, Smooth Moves, up and down, just up and down kind of year. Like that, like did start the season with a week one win for the first time in franchise history, and they dropped 140 points in week one. So like that already had us like, you know, like, especially when we did the preseason power rankings, had us like, okay, oh, hold on now. Did draft Tyreek Hill, who we did say in our preseason article would be the wide receiver one this year over Justin Jefferson. And what happened? Oh wait, Tyreek Hill finished as the wide receiver two, and he missed a couple games, I believe, or a game or two, or so he got nicked here or there. Either way, he finished higher than Jefferson did, and it wasn't even close. But anyway, and I don't want to hear, oh, if Jefferson played the whole season, if Kirk Cousins played the whole season, because I laid out some great facts on why that wasn't even going to happen, even if both these guys stayed healthy the whole year. But opinions are opinions, and now we have facts. But anyway, so yeah, Smooth Moves got the week one win against the third highest scoring team this season, right? Which is also, he was that was also a divisional opponent, that boy Hurts. Then the week two loss to Andy Reid's Mustache, the second highest scoring team in the league this year, but it was, you know, he lost by 13, but he put up 132. They put up 132. So like those first 2 weeks, Smooth Moves put up 140 and 132, but was 1-1. Like it was a lot of that going on for Daz and Smooth Moves over the course of this season. Because the next week they played Silky Drip and had 141 and won that game by 6 points. You get what I'm saying? Like playing something. Now, don't get me wrong, Silky Drip did not score anywhere near the top of the league, but that, just for that week, you know, just to set in like some context, there was some close wins and some close losses, and that was while this team was healthy and explosive, because no one coming into the season, not even Daz, thought that DeAndre Swift would be a viable running back too. Like, he was great. Like, for expectations, he was great. I'm not even gonna like sit here and cap. He was great. I should have traded for bro in the middle of the season. Maybe he would have gave me a boost, a jump, a juice, something. But I was too apprehensive about that. And on top of that, here's what put Daz and Smooth Moves in an awkward position, because after 6 weeks of the season, they were 3-3, and still relatively healthy. But the problem was Tyreek Hill was rostered. Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel were also rostered. And when you don't have a true elite RB1, when DeAndre Swift and Javonte Williams are headlining your running back room in fantasy, and you have no depth behind them you got to make a trade. The roster is Kirk Cousins, DeAndre Swift, Javonte Williams, Tyreek Hill, Brandon Ayuk, Evan Ingram, Deebo Samuel. Don't get me wrong, in hindsight, that is not that bad. However, over the course of the season, like, I could really break down how this handcuffed Daz and the team, especially weeks 9 through 11, but I'll get there. I won't go too in-depth every... In fact, I'll just go there now. So going into week 7, 3-3, they lost that week to Looney Tunes in week 7, so they were 3 and 3-4. They came back and won against the Beerus Egoists, so they were 4-4. The turning point of the season was when the bye week started and no one on this roster was moved. The bye weeks is really where smooth moves had their downfall. They lost 3 straight in weeks 9 through 11, 66 to 67, 96 to 114, 123 to 135. And by that time, when they played that boy Hurts for the rematch in week 11, when they lost 123 to 135, it was already too late. Kirk Cousins had been lost to a season-ending injury in the week 8 victory against the Beerus Egoists. And so during that week 9, 10, 11 stretch, not only were they stretched for a quarterback, but they were stretched for wide receiver in week 10. Tyreek Hill was on bye. In week 9, DeAndre Swift was on bye, so no running back there. They have like sub Antonio Jones and Samaje Perine a few of those weeks. Like, to be honest, the first 6 weeks of the season, I was talking to Daz, man, and I inquired about Ayuk and Brandon and Deebo Samuel, but I told him I'm not paying the price of Deebo Samuel's name, which at that time in the middle of the season was the problem for Daz. Brandon Ayuk was emerging as the more valuable receiver, but Deebo Samuel was the one that was drafted a lot higher, or a little bit higher, and so I can't speak for Daz. Of course, I'm going to get him on to talk about this sometime in the offseason. But I just told him, I don't think you're going to get the same value you think for Deebo Samuel based off his name anymore, because Ayuk is already emerging as the more reliable pass catcher in that offense on a more consistent basis. And that's why, and even Daz was saying he said he was having a hard time deciding if he wanted to move Ayuk or Deebo because he didn't want to move the wrong one. And I could totally understand. Honestly, at the end of the day, Ayuk finished as the wide receiver 12 in fantasy. Deebo finished as the wide receiver 14. There were weeks where both these dudes put up 10 to 14 to 20 plus together. And then there were weeks, 50, it was 50-50. There were weeks that one would hit and one would miss, or one would have, you know, a solid game and one would miss, or they both explode. It was so hit or miss. And that's honestly, in my opinion, why Daz finished the season, Smooth Moose finished the season 8-7, like middle of the pack, because the team was basically middle of the pack. The team was basically 50-50 hit or miss. Is it going to be Ayuk, Deebo, or are we both going to show up today? Like, because you knew Tyreek was coming. That's the only thing that was like playing CMC. Like, you knew CMC was coming. But everybody else on the roster is like, maybe I can get past them. Maybe I can get past DeAndre Swift, even though he was getting great work and getting pass catching work in an offense that we thought was not throwing the ball to their running backs. Javonte Williams came back and had a solid season. Like, a lot of people were down on him. And a lot of people were not trading for him. Nobody traded for him in this league. So, you know, and Evan Engram was a very pleasant surprise to finish the season as the tight end 4. In an offense that literally the running back emerged as the best player and the quarterback kind of had a regression year. Like, I'm not going to lie, Trevor Lawrence, that, bro, I almost drafted you, dude. Like, I'm so, whoa. I need to reevaluate my evaluation skills. But anyway, it was a tough season, man. Tough season. So, you know, you go through that week 9, 10, 11, you know, stretch. You lose 3 games straight. You end up 4-7. And then with the chance still to win the division, to make the playoffs, Daz and Smooth Moves tapered off four straight wins, bro. Like, 4 straight wins. They got it together, you know, put out a couple more division, or well, one more divisional win against Burrito Supreme in week 13. Some good wins. But ultimately, like, they missed the playoffs because that boy Hurts, they had the head-to-head record. They had a better record against teams with the same record as they did. So, but basically both That Boy Hurts and Smooth Moves finished 8-7, but That Boy Hurts had a better head-to-head record against other 8-7 teams than Smooth Moves did. So that's why That Boy Hurts won the division, even though they split in the season, which is crazy, honestly. You know, it's not really like, you know, oh, it's crazy how an 8-7 team didn't make the playoffs, but it's just crazy for Daz and Smooth Moves because basically, statistically, their best season to date. The first time that Daz and Smooth Moves executed zero trades throughout the course of the entire season. And you know, just to fall short and come in second place behind a team that is in the second year of its enfranchisement in the league. And to watch that team make a playoff berth in their second year, and for Smooth Moves to still be playoff lists, that's hard, man. That's hard. That's got to be weighing. You know, Daz did definitely said they were going to be back next year. Like, oh, they're going to be back and better. I believe it. I believe it. You know, I don't see a lot of teams. I don't see a lot of teams come off their best season and just flop. I just don't see it. Like, definitely with the experience, I do think Daz and Smooth Moves may end up winning the West next year, because let's be real, bro, the West was weak this year. Like, the West was very subpar, and I won't get too much into it because this is about Daz, but you know, Team Arrow was projected to win the West. They were projected a 10 plus win season, and they only won 5 games. Now, with that being said, listen, I'm not gonna lie to you. After the first 4 weeks of the season, I already knew that Team Arrow was not winning this division. Like, I'm not gonna sit here and say I knew, but man, I felt like it was a strong, strong probability that Metro was not gonna be able to recover and win the division. Maybe make the playoffs and maybe still have a really good season, but not win the division. You don't start the season 0-4 and win the division. That's not that, no. I just don't. Even if the best team in the division did go 8-7, mind you, I believe that is the next team, right? Oh no, we're gonna do so. The next team will be the Chosen, but for now, let me just finish up on Smooth Moves. Yeah, I thought that Daz and Smooth Moves had a really good chance to win this division about halfway through, but That Boy Hurts did put together a roster that was really formidable and really deep, like really, really deep. Pause. And that honestly, that probably was the difference. That boy Hurts. They're owned and managed by SDR, aka Ty, but you know, they only scored about 60 more points than Smooth Moves. And honestly, the explosiveness of Tyreek Hill and the surprising consistency of Evan Engram and the budding emergence fantasy wise of Brandon Ayuk was enough to basically keep this team on par with That Boy Hurts. Because, and I'll get into That Boy Hurts in their roster, but that was a deep roster. Like that team had CD Lamb and Tyler Lockett, and I know Lockett didn't have the best season, but still, that's a solid, reliable seat receiver. Let me just go down. I got the roster right here for you. There was Jared Goff, David Montgomery, Rashad White, Tyler Lockett, CD Lamb, George Kittle, Dallas Goedert, and then Deontay Foreman was on this roster, so y'all know what he did halfway through the season, right? Zach Moss is on this roster. I don't think he had Zach Moss when it mattered, though. I don't think he had Zach Moss when it mattered. But Jordan Addison was put on this roster about halfway through the season. And Adam Thielen was put on this roster about halfway through the season. So, yeah, there was a lot of depth here. And I definitely will get into that, into why, you know, that boy Hurts and probably ended up winning the division. But as for Daz and Smooth Moves, I hate to say that this is their best season, because I just, like, it's like, you know, like, you're, I just don't think your best season could end in it could result in not, no playoff berths. Like, no playoff berth. Like, you know, I, not even a wild card. And for context, this season, because we had one winless team for the first time ever, I decided to go ahead and propose to the council that we expand the playoff bracket from 6 teams to 8 teams. They were on board with it. We expanded from 6 to 8. Seeds 1 and 2 no longer had a bye week. Everyone had to play week 16, 17, and 18. And so basically two teams ended up making, two extra teams, two more wild card teams ended up making the playoffs. And yeah, smooth moves. Dazz and smooth moves were not one of them. Only one team came out of the West. So that just goes to show that the West really was not on point this year. And yeah, hopefully they'll bounce back. I definitely got to come back and retouch on the West, because two of the teams that I've already written about are in the West. So I'm going to have to come back and, you know, give a little synopsis about those on audio. But for now, that's smooth moves. I just don't know. Yeah, he's got to come with some, excuse me, bro's got to come with some, you know what I think it is? Nah, we're four seed. Well, next year will be his fifth year, Daz's fifth year owning smooth moves. I think he needs to go ahead and just get a little deeper with the talent evaluation part, you know, like he knows what he's doing when he picks the guys in the draft, when he drafts, like, okay, you know, I'm picking this guy on this offense, you know, he knows how to pick players, but when it comes to gauging value in trades and negotiating that value, I just think that's where sometimes he falls flat, because he overthinks it. Like, we negotiate all the time. I never get upset, too, because I'm a critical overthinker. So, I already know how that goes. Except with me, I'm just like, at the point, it's like, dude, it's fantasy football. I got to take a chance, you know? And sometimes the writing is not always right. Like, it's not always on the wall. It's not always so easy to read. Like, the hieroglyphics aren't always translatable. Like, you're not going to know if Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk are both going to finish as top 15 receivers. So, you don't know which one to trade. And then on top of that, you don't know which one... Your alleged trade partner or supposed trade partner is valuing more. Like, there's so many factors, bro. So many factors. You don't even know if they want this player, you know, what they're willing to give up for this player. You know, I know it's hard to come to these decisions, but at the end of the day, like, we're in a 16 team league, man. And the fact that there were, like, no one knew the playoff bracket was going to get expanded until week 14. That's when I announced it. But, every point counts. Every win counts. You got to take your chances, man. Like, it just really surprised me. The seasons before, Daz and Smooth Moves were so willing to take chances. And this year, apprehensive to take chances. And then be so close to getting a bite of that apple and not getting that. Just poof. Not being able to make the cut because you didn't take chances. You usually take chances. I get it. Oh, you got to find that middle ground. Like, in my opinion, you know, you got to find that middle ground between taking chances and success, because I believe that he associated him taking chances in the past with the 5-9 records or 5-10 record, 8-7 record that he had in the past. 1,400 points, you know, not scoring a lot of points per game. But this season, I believe he had a roster that was unlike the rosters he's had before. This roster was more loaded, like, well, top heavy, and so that the depth he could have gotten from that, I traded Derrick Henry for James Cook and CeeDee Lamb. That was a come up, and then I traded CeeDee Lamb. Honestly, I gotta let. Side note, I gotta let go of this cowboy, I can't have a cowboy on my team thing, bro. And even though I did roster Jake Ferguson for a lot of the season, CeeDee Lamb was the one I should have kept. Like, I don't care. CeeDee Lamb definitely was the one I should have kept. CeeDee Lamb would have saved my season. CeeDee Lamb would have won me the fantasy championship, hands down, if I would have kept him. So, like, you know, still to this day, 6 years in, I still have my flaws as a fantasy manager, as someone who's been in a fantasy Super Bowl in my league 4 times. I still have my flaws, bro. I still have my flaws. Like, I should have just, you know, maybe I was too hasty to get rid of Rashad White. But anyway, it's not about me. Anyway, it's not about me. Smooth Moves, he had a solid season. And it's hard to say that. It's hard to say it'll be easy to build on this to go into the next one, because honestly, he should have been building already. And I feel like this was a step forward, but this was not a big enough step forward. Like, this was just like half a step forward. Like, the playoffs is the next step forward. Playoffs, just a step forward, okay? In this league, 10 wins guarantees you playoffs. 9 wins, you in the hunt, okay? We're going to have to see that. An application of football knowledge and acumen when it comes to not just the draft, but post-draft and post and roster construction post-draft. You know, we're gonna have to see that. We gotta see some more progress in that regard. Yeah, like I said, Smooth Moves had a solid season, just some bad breaks here and there. You know, Kirk Cousins was consistent for half the season before he got hurt, so bad breaks here and there. Bimageddon, that played a part in some lost games. And obviously not being able to decide or being able to find the right value for either Ayuk or Debo, or even a few weeks when Tyreek Hill was on the block and he could have had Saquon Barkley, but that's neither here nor there. I'll let this one go, and the next one will be The Chosen, so stay tuned for that.